So there's this word on the streets that's trending. It's called kachihandi.
Kachihandi. So it means conversation. And in this case, it means conversations we're too scared to have.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Welcome back to Kachihande Season 2. We continue having those conversations we're too scared to have. This episode has been, it's been weeks in the making.
Yes, it has.
Potentially weeks or months in the making. The first time I spoke to Josh, we spoke as though we've been speaking since forever. Mm-hmm. He's nervous about how he talks or whether he talks too much, but I'll be the judge of that. Josh, welcome to Kachihande.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for making the long trip. He's traveled from a different district where he was earlier today. He's traveled from Chilanga district. He was really crossing. See, this is what we do on this podcast. We bring in people from far and wide. Far and wide, including Chilanga, shame. Mm. Josh, so you are welcome to Kachihande. Thank you so much for coming through. We're always glad that you came through. He saw my food spread because season two is all about eating, because the people at Vibecast say that I've gained weight, but nobody's asking them. So we're just going to keep eating.
Sure thing.
We're just going to keep eating in season two. Let's see where food takes us. Josh?
Yep.
So you said you had wanted an opportunity to tell your story. And here at Kachihande, right, we are always of the view that we are walking with heroes among us. And sometimes the heroes themselves are not aware, mm-hmm. right? So what we always want to do is to make sure that we give heroes a platform to come and be heroes, because we underestimate just how much, like, our story can help the next. Mm-hmm. Without preempting.
Yep.
Tell me your story from the beginning.
Well.
Not beginning as in once upon a time. There were two people.
I would have gone with that. But really? No. Now we have to cut it short.
Okay, let's start from that. Start from there.
Mm-hmm. You should have given it with the whole vibe and say, you know what? Like when you're reading a book, you know, like, you know, it's giving the whole storyline until you reach the climax. Like back then when the rain and everything there.
In 90, you see, the problem is that Josh, you were born in the 90s, isn't it? You look like you were born in the 90s.
I am a 90s. See? Really? Not as in your...
As far back in the 90s. Come on, these young people. Anyway, Josh, why don't you tell your story from the beginning?
Okay, so...
Tell me.
Let me share my story from as early as, 2023?
Mm-hmm.
2024. Mm-hmm. I think it's during this period itself, mm-hmm. the month of March or February.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been something. Putting it out there, that year itself was a bit, you know, an eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
It had me thinking a lot towards my whole life. You know,
yeah.
I had gone through a lot of challenges, through ups and downs. And
mm-hmm.
yeah. It just got me now just to be connected as an individual.
Yeah.
So I start from the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed with cancer itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before that, I had gone to a hospital. I think the hospital nearby had told me that it was, first of all, the misdiagnosis. Said, first of all, it was gastritis.
So you were like, just in pain, but...
Like I was in pain, but mm-hmm. then besides having pain itself,
mm-hmm.
there's a period when I had eaten... I think I had gone to my auntie's place just mm-hmm. within Salama Park.
Mm-hmm.
Came home the night then I had slept off. But then after that, like probably around 3 or 4 a.m., I just started out throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like consistent throwing up. So one thing that had happened was that I'd left my device by my neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
He had come in, was like, oh, so you noticed that I hadn't come to pick it up like the following day or so. He's like,
yeah.
So he came in, he's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I thought it was just something I had eaten.
Mm-hmm.
From eating wrong, then I called my older sibling
mm-hmm.
and who is not even best in Lusaka, he's best in the Copper Belt. It's like, oh, you know, usually we have this bond because we are three of us and all three of us are all in three different places.
Yeah.
So my younger sibling is best, is currently in South Africa. My older sibling is in Dola and I am in Lusaka. And it's been like that since, I would say, the seventh grade. Yeah. Because we've all grown up in all different places.
Yeah.
So when that had happened, he called up, says, no, I called him, like, oh, I wasn't feeling too well. So he had called my mom that stays within Lusaka itself. Mm-hmm. She came over, went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They told us, no, it's just gastritis, so you might have something that you've eaten wrong. So that was the first thing now. Yeah. Like, oh, it's just gastritis. It's just, so I'm just gastritis, like, you know, it's just a random thing. When someone says you've got gastritis, it's like, oh, it's nothing major, nothing, anything there. They even give me the medication. Mm-hmm. Went over to my granny's house. I stayed with mom. But then it's still
continued.
Yeah. So what had happened was that I used to have evening classes going towards Zika. Then I decided, okay, you know what? This time around, I couldn't go. Let me call my older brother and his wife. Since my older brother's wife is a medical doctor, I said, okay, let me just go there for 1 week. Just let me just go for a test. And what I'd noticed is that, you know, as a young man who's staying alone or bachelor, you know, I had noticed that, okay, yes, you know, you think you're eating a lot. You're like, oh, your pot belly is growing. Like,
your body's changing.
Like, like, I have a pot belly or something like that. But then, like, okay, the pot belly is there. But then he's like, oh, maybe it's just because I'm eating too much or something. Yeah. So then I went to my older brother and his wife in Dola, carried on in clothes for 1 week. And that's probably in March itself.
Yeah.
I think it should be, March, carried just for 1 week. I'm like, oh, I'm just going for a test and everything. But I was still in pain.
Yeah.
The pain was that I couldn't sleep on the right side of my
body. Yeah.
I could only sleep on the left side. And, you know, it was just like, okay, but why is this happening and all that? So I go to a Copper Belt, only carried clothes for 1 week, mind you. And I left my house in Ibex. So I'm like, I'm just carrying my clothes. I'll be back or so. Even on the bus ride, going all the way to the Copper Belt, I was still feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't throwing up because I couldn't also, and one thing I also noticed is that I couldn't eat too much.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, probably it's just like gastritis or maybe, I don't know, there's just something wrong. So I'm like, okay, reached the Copper Belt, spoke to my sister-in-law. She was like, okay, we'll just run a few tests. And she's like, okay, we went for the test and, you know, just, it was just a casual thing, you know, me casually talking like that, you know, trying to be in a good mood. I'm like, okay, they had diagnosis. Head over to the hospital. We do a scan. And what we had noticed was like, okay, that this is, I remember that day because I'm a Man City supporter. So the guy who was doing the scan was like, oh, you know, just a general question, just trying to ease me up. Oh, what team do you support? This and that. So I'm like, I was so proud. Oh, Man City and everything. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, that's the scan. And then he goes over to my older brother and my sister's like, I know we've noticed something.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, there's like, there's a mass within his abdomen area. So I'm just like,
okay.
Okay. And I didn't take it like that much, like, okay, yeah, there's a mass, there's a mass. I'm like, okay, cool, it's just a mass. And they said, no, we need to do further more tests. Now, from having a test there, I actually had to go. So we went and ended up having, like, more tests. And then just
take your time.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, so we ended up having like tests or so. Now, the second test that I had was like, it was an endoscope.
Yeah.
So they actually had to run like a tube through your mouth and everything. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And one thing they had noticed was like, the tumor or the mass covered about, I think 80% of my stomach.
80%?
Yeah. So you can imagine, like 80%, like almost all the food that I was eating or anything that was there was like causing me to throw up.
And like, so you were not keeping anything down?
Like, yeah. Like, you would eat, but then I couldn't eat too much. And eating too much causes you, like, to, like, oh, you get to throw up and everything. And it says, okay, it's there, but we don't know what type. Now, you know, what goes through your mind is like, okay, there's a mass, and they say it's a tumor. Mm-hmm. And here's a young guy who's probably in his 30s or so, like, ready to make all his life decisions. Like,
yes.
I don't know. Like, I'm, like, looking forward to, like, okay, my 30s, I'm young.
I've got so much life ahead of me.
So much in life, yeah. So much energy, first of all. Like, here's a person that, if you were to ask any of my siblings or so, I'm one person that used to do a lot of, like, running, exercising or so. I'm not bulk, as they say, like your whole gym rat and everything like that. But no, I could do my whole exercise, try to keep fit and everything. And then tastes like a tumor. Like, you know what goes through your mind? Like, your whole life just, like...
How did this happen?
Like, yeah, like, it just stops. Literally. Yes. You know, where you're just like, ah... Okay, like, wow, like, where do I go to? Like, where does your mind take you to? Like, eish, you know, it's a lot, first of all, to think about, you know, like, yeah, then now they're telling you, okay, we may have to go for
surgery,
like surgery or so. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, this is Josh living the sucker. With a bag of only clothes for a week.
Yes, I was
the whole
say.
1 week, and I ended up staying in the copper belt for what, 2 months?
What?
Yeah, like literally 2 months. But I think it was 2 months or so. Yeah. So now within those 2 months, I had where I had to do now my different scans.
Yeah.
So scans from my CT scan just to check the thing, having the endoscope. The good part with the endoscope, when I did it, I had to be sedated. Like, I don't think I was going to make it, like, wow, I'm looking at the whole thing. Yeah, that was the first thing. Then I had to now do all various blood samples. And during this whole period itself, you know, there's a lot that's going through your mind, like, okay, off with work. Life has just had to halt. And I don't think I had, at that moment, I don't think I told many of my friends.
Yeah.
Or even any of my family members. Like, I think the only people that I knew were my brother, his wife, and just a few of, like, mom and, yeah, a few other people that were there. And you know, the way you're just thinking, like, okay, this is just something else.
So I want to just interrupt you for a second. When you, because I remember once getting like a medical report.
Yeah.
I did not hear what that lady said. Like, you know, like, she kind of said something, and then I, like, in my mind, I exited the room, and
that's the same thing that happened.
Yeah, and it kind of took me a month to be like, this has happened to me.
You know, when you say that, I literally agree with you. Because even when, I think when they told my sibling and his wife, you know, it didn't, first of all, just click right there. And then I'm like, oh, you have this thing. Like, you, nah, like, it took time for my mind to get to be able to process everything. You know, it's took, like, some time to say, there's a tumor. Like, I know what a tumor is. Oh, I know what a mass is. Like, it's there, and it's covering 80% of your stomach.
Like, because really, I'm looking at you now, and I'm just like, what do you mean 80%? Like, because I'm so, and me, the way my brain works is I'll focus on the wrong thing. So I would have been like, where is it sitting at 80%?
So, and the way mine was, like, was that, like I said, it looked as if I had like a pot belly.
Yeah.
And it's like just there, protruding up there. And so, what they had noticed, so it's 80%. It's a tumor, it's a mass, and they don't know where it's from. Like,
yes, because then, there's also that, right?
Yeah, they don't know where it's from. And most, okay, I would say somehow it's been there for some time.
Because there's that as well.
It's been there for, so meaning that my whole past 30 years of my life, I might have had it, and it just started, like, growing bit by bit. And it took, like, I think maybe a year or two. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I thank God that if we didn't notice it right now, I don't think I'll be sitting in this position to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you never know when, wow, The license goal. Like, probably it would have grown even way bigger than 80. Could have been 100% or so.
Truly, truly.
And, you know, thank God for the opportunity, you know. Thank God
to go when you did. And but I want to take you back as well. Like, for yourself, did you in hearing that there's a mass, it's this, did you start thinking back like, did I miss a sign? Did I miss the symptoms? And I say this like, you are hearing that information at the same time that intervention must start, and it must start immediately.
Now, at that point, you know, where you get to think a lot, like, you know, you're thinking like, okay, as an individual, like what you just said, like, did I actually miss a sign? Did I, you know, where were the signs?
Yes.
You know, like, now I'm even thinking like, at that, what point did it start to actually grow? Like,
yeah, like when you go to 20%, did I miss like
20%?
It?
20%. But then here's the catch towards it. Mm-hmm. Where I got to know, where I'm now, when I get to think about it, like, there were moments where I couldn't eat like specific food.
Yeah.
I would actually throw up. So if you had to serve me like a meal that's probably got too much maybe spices or certain maybe proteins or something like that, I would actually throw up. But to me, I wouldn't like, I'll be like, oh, maybe I don't eat this food.
You know? Yes, like, because
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Like, you're sitting there, you're eating and everything like that. Oh, you know, I knew like, okay, now certain food I couldn't eat and then certain things I could eat.
Mm-hmm.
And where I knew a lot, I think where I got to know a lot was probably the year of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to my sibling's place and, you know, where you're having a particular meal or so, you can't eat specific stuff. You'd be like, oh, you know, maybe my body is now rejecting this particular thing. You know, I can't.
Yes, yes.
I didn't know.
Yes.
And then, so two things that came pointing out. Last year itself, I had one of my brothers, I would say cousin, but he's my brother.
No, because we're Zambian. We really mean brother.
Brother, yes. So he had noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a conversation. We had gone to his mother-in-law's house.
Mm-hmm.
So they were about to have like a specific function. So, you know, he had noticed something. He's like, yo, Josh, you know, have you noticed your body like there's something wrong with your, like your pot belly, like that type of pot belly is like, you know, like it doesn't look like your normal pot belly. Like, yeah. So I didn't like pay attention that much. I'm like, ah, it's just a pot belly or so. And then somebody else noticed that. They said a comment. And a friend of mine is like, you know, on the outside, your face may look like, yes, you're smiling and everything, but your body doesn't look like it's okay. Is there anything wrong? Like, is it something? Is it because, you know, this and that, life and everything? And for me, I'm like, okay, now trying to think about it, like, is it because of life? Is it because of this? You know, like, okay, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, you start trying to,
yeah, you're trying to. But then now, when now all this comes into play,
yeah,
the gastritis being told to be misdiagnosed, so.
Yes.
And then now to a stage where you're just told it's just a tumor. And that's like 80% of your stomach. Now, 80% is actually covering your...
Your other organs, right?
Yeah, your other organ. But then, here's the thing is that they couldn't determine, you know, how big it had grown. So they had said, okay, it's about like 9-point-something centimeters. That's how wide.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know the size. So I'll tell you how big it is when, you know, during the whole process. So that's me. My life has paused. I'm supposed to be writing exams at... for school in college. You've left Lusaka 2 months. Yeah, I think 2 months. Yeah, within the copper belt, everything has paused. You like literally, you know, you're just thinking like the past few weeks or past few days are always okay. I have to do my tests. I have to go take blood. You know, where it becomes tests. I'm like,
yes, because they're poking and
yeah, like go to the hospital. I have to do a CT scan. The type of CT scan I had to do, I've forgotten the name. So where they have to inject specific medication, dye.
Yeah,
it goes through your thing. Then now, up there taking care of the pictures and everything, the scans, and you're there. You're seated there, and in a way, your body gets tired. Now. That's just the beginning. And I'm already saying like my body's getting tired.
Right.
Like I haven't even done like much yet. In a way, you're just there. I wasn't happy about like having all those Not that I'm afraid of the injection or
so.
Like,
yeah, but so many needles. Yeah, you start feeling like a pin cushion. Mm. No,
that's like nothing. Like, I'm yet to get to it. Like, so I think I can even count how many cannulas I've taken, how many injections. And I think they're not less than 100 or so. On a human body, how many times I've been taken with like the whole injections, taking your blood, checking everything. And then now with all this thing that is happening, okay, they say you need to have surgery. Now, surgery is like, okay, you need to have it on the, like on the 14th or so. So mm-hmm. one of the surgeons that was recommended mm-hmm. was, had checked, okay, we've done the scans, we've seen everything, I had a file. Now, they needed to find out what type or how big the cancer, the tumor is.
Yeah.
So they thought, if it's too big, you may have to do chemo. Now, the first thing that goes into my mind, like, chemo. Like, you've watched, you know, I'm one person that loves a lot of
TV.
Mm. TV. And when I say TV specifically, I love a lot of medical shows. Yo. So whether it's House, whether it's The Good Doctor. Mm. I tried Grey's Anatomy, but it became something else for me.
Yeah, so it became not medical.
Yes. Yeah, it didn't become non-medical. But then, like, from watching House,
yeah,
you know, you get to pick up a few things.
Yes.
So it was House, you know, The Good Doctor, New Amsterdam. And, you know, you've watched all these shows that they talk about these things. And it's a TV thing. Like, you watch TV and mm-hmm. you turn off the TV and you go. You forget about it,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. But now it's like I am living it.
It's me as an individual. I am waking up with that every day, every moment that it's in me. And sitting there as an mm-hmm. individual, you know, you've been told, okay, go to the hospital, do that. No, we've messed up. There's a point, I think, where they couldn't find my blood sample, so I had to get another blood sample. Trust me, like, I haven't even gotten to the show yet. Yeah, but then being told, okay, you've done the endoscope, everything. Okay, now the next thing is that, okay, having the surgery, you mm-hmm. have your all different, what type of surgery is it? Or, you know, is it prostate? Or, you have the surgery. Okay, you be in on, we can have the surgery on the 14th mm-hmm. of May. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be in hospital on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday comes in. The type of person that I am is like, mm-hmm. you know, I tried as much as possible to be cheerful, you know, everything, like, keep a smile. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be gloomy. You mm-hmm. don't have to be like, oh, depressed or anything like that, you know. So I had that thing in me, you mm-hmm. know, okay, hospital, everything. Go out the hospital. I ended up going into, not your ordinary wards.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. High cost, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I was in high cost in there now.
Oh, this is in Indola.
That's in Indola now.
Okay.
Because the normal ordinary wards were all taken up. High cost was, yeah. And thank God also I also went to high cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm trying to say normal wards are bad, but then at least
there are certain realities.
There's a lot that you get to see at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And one thing I can also maybe advise anyone that's listening, first of all, you need to know what your blood type is. You know, the past 32 years of my life, I only found out what my blood type was. And I only found out that I was an A positive.
You found out when you were 32. Do you know when I found out?
When? When?
I was 36. My parents couldn't answer the question either.
Yeah, you know where you're at the hospital, and then they, I didn't know that. You know where
they, and I've had surgery before. I've actually had surgery before. I've actually had my appendix taken out. I did not know my blood type. Do you even know why I found out my blood type? It's because I was trying to lose weight. I'm always trying to lose weight, guys. And someone said, let's find out your blood. You were 30. So you.
I didn't know.
And I'll tell you, people just tend not to think it's relevant.
No. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
Even I, as an individual,
didn't think you need to know.
Like,
yeah.
Like, why would I need to know what my blood type is? You know, as much as well, yes, we know what, you know, your height, you know, when you go to get your passport and every other thing, you know what it is. But the reality is, I didn't know what my blood type is. And the reason why I needed to know what my blood type was is that when you're having your surgery, I needed to have like 6 pints of blood.
Oh, because obviously they're getting ready. They don't know what they're dealing with. Yes. So 6 is...
6. And they don't know if it's... They had noticed that, okay, somehow it's not connected to something, you know, my vital organs.
Okay.
That was a good thing. They just said it, but then they said, okay, before the surgery or so, you need to have, you know, that number of
pints,
you know, so now one.
Can I pause you there? Because we had a family friend who was having, he was having a brain tumor removed. Yeah, this was a number of years ago. And I remember them asking that, you know, it was, this was happening at UTH. It's almost like you need to deposit before you can draw out. And I'm always like, you know, you choose the wrong time to say this to people and their family. Like, we are about to have this surgery. We are worried about our person. And now you're talking about, oh, you need to make a deposit into the blood bank before you can.
So when you say that, that usually happens. So this is Wednesday, few days before my surgery.
Yeah.
I needed to actually organize blood before Friday itself.
Yes, yes.
Now, where do you start from? Yes.
Because you can try family members. Yeah.
So the good part, I think we are the same with my older brother.
Yeah.
Since we're three of us.
Yeah.
So yes, from him. And now we now need to organize from people that have a similar blood group. That's why I say, you know, as an individual, as even anybody in life, you just need to know your, like, certain things for your health. You need to know what your blood type is. Like, yes, we take it for granted, but
and
it
truly
shouldn't
we
reach
do.
A point when we need to.
You are in a desperate situation, yeah.
Like the last minute now, oh, what's your blood type? Like, I don't know.
You tell me. I think you almost want to. You tell me.
I only found out, like, yeah, then. So you have to get your blood type. They need to find out different things, you know. And one of the questions that I was asked even at the hospital itself. One thing that's asked before your surgery itself, they ask your faith. So not as if I'm trying to brush anybody or so. So there's particular...
Yes, sects, they don't do blood transfusions. Yes.
Transfusion. So they need to ask, does your faith, does your church allow? And for me, it was yes. Yes, they do. And... I, as an individual, I would still go ahead. I'm like,
yeah, because and I'm always like, your faith and your belief in your rules are so strong, because my life depends. I'm saying yes, I will take that transfusion.
Yeah, and for me it was like, whether the faith, the church, hey, this is my life.
This is my life.
I need to see the other parts of my years, you know, and. Yes, so they did that.
So can I take you to that Thursday night?
Oh.
If I could.
Sure.
Because this is the night before your surgery.
So
you are a young man. You had 30s. You're a young man in your 30s. You had the whole life planned, or at least you intended to live out even what you hadn't planned. Could you sleep that night?
That night was a bit, no, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Overall, you know, so I went in with my PC there, or a tablet that I was using.
Mm-hmm.
The whole day, I was okay. I could sleep and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that night, so I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is that, that's when now the thoughts kick in.
Yeah.
And those thoughts are there.
Yep.
Like, as much as well, I'm going to tell you that, I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, no, you don't have those thoughts. Like, oh, no, despite you being a person that's maybe jovial, happy, you know, being trying a good mood, when reality kicks in, it kicks in.
Yeah.
Now, this is me. So the nurses, at every interval, they need to check your BP and everything.
Yes,
because if your BP is too high, you cannot
they can't.
Have,
yes, they can't.
And this is where you get to learn a lot. I'm like, oh, your BP has to be at a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the night. Mom had come in all the way from Lusaka to Dola.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke everything. I saw my older brother. He was there. Chatted, and then now, before they went to have my BP, so mom had gone. I had a friend of mine who I spoke to her. Then, oh, okay, yes, having the surgery, at least it somehow like calmed me down. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, next thing.
You spoke to a girl?
Yes, a friend, a female friend.
Yeah. Okay, let's call her that, Josh, because somebody, you speak to them and then you all of a sudden you're calm.
Continue. No, no.
No, Tell the story.
There's a reason why I put her in that particular section, because we had started just conversating or communicating.
Okay.
Just talking. And
he's talking stages. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't put it as a talking stage yet.
One, just tell your story. I'll interrogate sure. this point.
No, ask
later.
A lot of questions. Because do you know why the reason I wouldn't put it at, not to divert from that, is that in a way you've been taught that a lot of things come through your mind. Like,
yeah.
Now I became a bit like self-guarded.
Yeah.
And who am I allowing in my life? Like
in your space.
My space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not everybody I'm going to tell. And it's not even right now. I think, apart from maybe the audience that are going to hear, this is the first time I'm going to be, maybe second time, I'm telling a large audience.
Yes. Hey, he said large audience. Amen. Yes, our audience is large.
I'm telling you, I can see it. I see the vision. Mm. Yeah. So the large audience, and there are a lot of people who are going to hear this out. And I wasn't, first of all, comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be able to share.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we know, I believe as, I'll take it from a male perspective.
Yeah.
Being a male perspective, you know, coming from the background where I come from, we have that thing in us like, okay.
Men stay strong.
Mm. Yes. That one, like trying to be macho and everything like that. But to be honest with you, beginning of our whole podcast itself, and I'll be honest, while sharing my experience, I did actually get to share, okay, not shared, but yeah, the tears were there.
Because
I couldn't find the, I don't know why you couldn't share the.
It's there.
I couldn't see it. I don't know.
You didn't see the tissue.
Yeah, but then I actually, like, breaking down. And this is, you know, having this conversation
and,
like
and
you.
And I think this, that's the part which we never, ever. Because, and which is why sometimes I feel like, I don't even know why men should be allowing anybody to say, a man never cries. Because you are in that moment where you are almost face to face with possibilities that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Kachi Hande is recorded and produced by Vibecast Podcast Network. Vibecast ZM is Zambia's premier podcast network. Get in touch with Vibecast on 0979-591899 or email production@vibezm.com. You can also search for Vibecast ZM on all social media platforms. Vibecast, making it possible for you to tell your stories. Now let's continue this conversation.
So going back to the whole thing, yes, no way, like, I'm seated there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had my conversation. BP was a bit low. Great. Because I had my second check for my BP at midnight. Because the first time at 9 p.m. I couldn't have it because it was a bit too high.
Yeah.
Now, here's a person that I am. I'm into tech.
Mm-hmm.
So, not as if I'm a nerd or anything. So
it's okay. You can be a nerd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, most people think, oh, when you're into tech and everything, you're a nerd. Yeah. But then, you know, I have my PC there watching something. Now it clocks in midnight. Now the thoughts come in.
Yeah.
So you're in the ward. I think we're only about, I think, three of us in the ward, you know. And the ward is divided. One side, it says surgical, and the other side says treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The surgical side, I was the only one on that side of the ward.
Yeah.
And the treatment side, you had two other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that says a lot, like, okay.
Yes.
And you know, you're having these thoughts. Now you can't sleep. Like, what if things go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, what if I don't wake up?
Yeah.
You know, like, what happens? Like, have I, you know, achieved my goal? Have I, you know?
Have I lived life,
you know?
Yeah.
I want to do a lot in life. Like, you know, like literally a lot. Now it starts kicking in. Okay. I can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Thank God, my older brother was like, I think he was still up or so.
Yeah.
So I was like still texting him on like, either on social media or so. It was on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And then also my other older brother, who's in Lusaka. So like shout out to Chipo.
Mm-hmm.
He put me out there. He's like, you know, we had our conversation. Like, no, everything will be well, you know.
Yeah.
But as much as well, people can tell you like everything is well.
They're not the ones living.
They're not the ones who are going through it. Like, you know, we've heard. You know, I've spoken to people who hear like, you know, somebody in their family is having surgery. And you hear like, oh, you even conversate with someone like, oh, yeah, surgery. Like, yeah. But then now when it's actually you.
It feels different.
You know, like, you've watched a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And they're there. And just sitting there like, I couldn't sleep. I think my surgery was going to be as early as, because they're going to give me at, is it 6:30 or so, or 7? Mm-hmm. To go to the theater. Mm-hmm. Now, here's Josh. Mm-hmm. 1 a.m. is still up. Mm-hmm. He can't sleep. Oh, let me try to watch maybe something. It will calm me down, make mm-hmm. me forget. Oh, 2 a.m. Josh is still up. Mm. 3 a.m. I'm still up. And I just texted my older brother. He gets to respond to me like, I can't sleep. Then he's like, okay. I know, he's like, I know, everything will be okay. We couldn't have a call because, you know, it might disturb people.
Yes,
through text and everything like that. Then I go on YouTube. There's a particular song that I had to listen to. So here now comes in my faith.
Yes.
So my faith is that I believe there's a God. And I believe, first of all, I'm a Christian.
Yes.
You know, I believe there is a God. Mm-hmm. I believe, you know, he's there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that he can do for me. Mm-hmm. Now, as much as well, you say you're a Christian and everything like that, mm-hmm. but is that I, as an individual, I'm not going to say about what other individuals get to feel, mm-hmm. but, you know, I had that thing that it says, what if? You know that big what if in upper caps?
Yeah.
You know, like capital letters and everything.
Yes.
There. What if something happens? What if I don't
wake up?
I don't, like, you know, do we ever actually sit and think, like, what's beyond the afterlife?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's not something that you wake up and like, oh, okay, I slept for maybe 1 year, I'm now back and everything. Mm. No, like, if you're gone, you're gone.
Like, let me disturb you for a moment.
Sure.
That, you know, in those AMs, did you ever like just be like, okay, but God, why did we have to get here in the first place?
Oof, those thoughts came in, you know. I had those thoughts and like, why that's what I'm saying, like the big like why
me yes,
it's why me. Now I think later on I'm gonna explain to you, mm-hmm. I had a conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. and when I spoke with Auntie Hope, mm-hmm. she was going through the same mm-hmm. Situation, like she had her own version of cancer, so she communicated to me. So during the whole process, you know, where she told, you know, where she encouraged me throughout mm-hmm. the process, you know, she's like, you know, sometimes you may think about like, why me? We are asking God, why me? Mm-hmm. Why does it have to happen to me? Mm-hmm. Now imagine like certain things that you have gone through or you're going to go through. Like, would you want it to happen to somebody? Mm-hmm. Like, I can never, to be honest with you.
No, like I hear the point Auntie Hope was making, but I know, just like, want to be like, but Auntie Hope, it's me right now. Like, it's okay, me. Forget
this
man.
Now listen now. Mm-hmm. Now this, she shared with me this mm-hmm. after I had my surgery. So I had my surgery, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I managed to sleep.
Yeah.
Listening to, there's one particular song I got to listen to. I've forgotten the name of the band, mm-hmm. but it's a Christian song. It was like Reckless Love. Like, it's deep, man. It got me in my feels there. Now, like, mm-hmm. Josh, with all that macho that he had, mm-hmm. the braveness and everything, he shed his tears there. Mm-hmm. Lucky enough, the lights were off.
Yes, nobody
was not seeing me. The nurses were not there, you know. Hey! Because at that moment, Josh was like all macho, you know, when he's communicating with the nurses and everything, like, I got this figured out. Mm. But at 3 a.m., Joshua didn't have anything figured out. Mm. Joshua was thinking, like,
what if?
What if? You know, the big what if. And it happened. 6 a.m., mom, I think, 6 a.m., mom and my brother came in. Okay. You know, you're just sitting in bed, like, okay, they're telling you, like, okay. Yeah, are you ready? Are you prepared? Like, how are you going to ask me, are you ready or not prepared? Like, it's not a race. It's, So I sit there, 6:30 or so. A gentleman comes in with, I don't know, would you call that a trolley or something?
Yes.
So he comes in like Joshua Chipile. So he's, lucky enough, while I was sitting there, it was like by the entrance. So it's like Joshua Chipile, like, you know, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to change.
Oh, and they give you the camera robe and you don't, you have to.
Yes. Oh, nothing on. Yeah.
I'm going to jump a little bit because I want to get to you waking up.
So, now here's the thing. Mm-hmm. My surgery, I think, lasted. So I went into the theater 7:30, I think 7:30 went in. Lucky enough, the surgeons that were there, mm-hmm. We had our conversation, you know, they tried to chat me up and everything. And they said, okay, I think they were playing music. You know, they have their own music.
Just they have their own vibe.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to play my also my own music in my mind. So I had a specific play, Spotify playlist that was playing in my mind at that moment.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so like just to keep myself calm, you know, you have all the different, you know,
machines
that are coming in. And then, you know, when you actually now put there and you see the light, then it's like, okay, it just got real.
Bud.
Like, it just got real. Then now they tell you, okay, count one up to 10 or so.
Also, that surgery, like, theater is cold, guys. Why don't people talk about theater being cold?
And then you're just there with and a robe.
Yeah, they come.
Now imagine you're just sitting there, like, with a robe and everything. It's cold. And you're just like, okay.
It's real. They've switched the light on.
The light is on. The music is there.
Put the mask on.
The mask on. You sit it there. And from there on, I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, no one should ever say, oh, they saw a light.
No, me, I didn't go anywhere. Like, I was there, and then I was in pain waking up.
Yes. So you wake up. So mine was, I had my surgery. I think I was out by, I think, if I remember from what they were telling me, I was out by 2 p.m., I think. So why from 7.
I don't remember. My surgery was 45 minutes to just remove an appendix.
Now, but here's
yours was 7 hours.
Yes. So it was that quite long. I lost a lot of blood. Because now, remember also, it's they didn't know if
how it was sitting.
How it was sitting. Was it connected to any vital organs or so?
Yeah.
So vital organs, they check, they start the surgery. They removed it out of there. Then they tell me, oh, they told my brother, because my brother had to actually get it, like carry it, like get some samples, because they had to take
because they had to take it for a biopsy.
Biopsy, yes. So he literally saw it. I only saw pictures of it, but I wouldn't mind like seeing it again. Like,
no,
okay, like,
gosh, nobody needs to revisit that. No.
How
big was it?
Okay, so now here's the kicker out of it. Like, size of the whole tumor was about 3 kg.
3 kg
is a normal size of a
that's baby. A baby.
Like, I have been carrying
that's a baby.
Yes. Yes.
I really want to swear.
You can sense like 3 kg. Now
what kind of foolishness?
Yes, we can say what kind of foolishness that is. Yes. I agree with you 100%.
3 kg. Sorry.
Kg.
We have to now back up because
now. This is where now look. That's why I say my story. You said, let me share my story. And I'm now putting it in phases and stages. So
no,
from
but
me,
Josh, yes. Listen. Were carrying around what a woman in like full term is carrying around.
I didn't know that that's on an average size of a woman. Like,
no, like there are babies that are born that are three. It's a.
You know, I wish. The audience can actually get to see, like, I wish there was a video part where you're actually, like, describing it.
We're supposed to go to video. Josh, we'll finally get that. 3 kg.
I wish.
What the?
Yes. I can even see your expression and you saying, like, yes, 3 kg. Like, even I am just like, huh? 3 kg. Okay, for those that may know, yes, baby-wise and everything. So, we'll put it in this context. Get a 1 kg or 2 kg of sugar.
Sugar. And then add a friend.
Add the friend there. That's, like, 3 kg. And that's something that I've been carrying for some time.
And you don't
I didn't even know that. Now, this is why I'm now saying, going back to everything, like, when it comes to the medical space and everything, we need to be very serious about knowing certain things. Like, when I mean knowing certain things, that, you know, our health practitioners need to, not as if I'm trying to say they or bash them or say anything wrong.
No, we can bash them.
No. They did their part and everything like that. But now look at this. This is a misdiagnosis.
And this is why I'm feeling like maybe we can bash, because first you were told it's gastritis.
And somebody was out there thinking like, okay, if I eat too much and everything, like
the thing is, me, I've held it.
Do you know what you should do? I wish there was a part for the video part where you can even just put a snippet and just say 3 kg, like
this is what 3 kg looks like.
Size. Now this is.
But also, you see, because this morning I was attempting to work out, you know, my weight loss program.
Yes.
And I was working out with a 2 kg dumbbell, and I'm just
now.
I work out vibe cast. Stop judging me. What?
Now, imagine, like, you know, I can even see the other guy there. It's like trying
to... I'm trying to fathom
how,
and this is maybe, this is not even the, like, the center of the discussion, but I'm trying to fathom walking around with 3 kgs that should not be there.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what now getting back to the thing, I as an individual, or I as a person, thought, oh, it's just a simple, no, it's just a problem, but yeah, eating what? But then I didn't know. So now here it comes back to the saying that, you know, we need to, like we say, take care of your body or anything, like, great, do that. Mm. But then also, if there's anything wrong with you or anything.
It doesn't just feel right or look right. Yeah.
Thank God, like, that happened. And thank God it was a misdiagnosis. And thank God that I actually had to get on a thing to go all the way to Ndola to actually confirm. Like, that's what I'm saying. Getting back.
What?
No, think about it. Like, if I didn't say anything, if I say, oh, okay, I'm now okay, I'm done taking the medication for gastritis, and I just sat there.
Okay,
would
but
I
Josh,
be in this seat and having this conversation with you? No.
But now I have to take you. So, okay. Because you've been saying pot belly, and I am right now just looking at my chunky monkey self, and I'm like, okay, this is about maybe this is not flat tummy. I don't owe anybody a flat tummy. However,
yes, you do.
However,
yes,
3 kg. Like, could you rest your arm on it?
This is now the part. Now I say I couldn't sleep on my right side. So this is me just sleeping on my left side. So one, I
okay, but
sleep
on my... did you like have to change your shirt
like,
size? Like, was it?
It was protruding. Yes, you could
but
say
protruding. Like, protrude, because now here that you're saying 3 kgs, I am seeing your thigh was like it was a curve. Like there was a C. Was there a C?
Yes, the C was there, and that's why I say now. Remember when I said when I spoke to my brother, and he said he noticed it. He's like, yo,
that pot belly,
yeah, that pot belly doesn't look natural. And then second of all, it wasn't even
really
like, even. You know where,
like a capot belly is round. like a capot belly is round.
Like it's supposed to be like round or something like that. Or even when you have your tummy out there, it should be like flat. Like, okay, not like necessarily flat, but it should be.
But like even when it's not, it's kind of like
yeah. Like curvish, like that, but they're not the way it's like someone like protruding and where somebody gets it and notice and says, it doesn't make sense. And for me as an individual, I'm just like, ah, oh, you know, like it doesn't ring any bells to me. I'm just like, ah, oh, you know, yeah. So, no. So, before we carry on and going deep into the 3 kg, now this is me out of the surgery, out at maybe 2 p.m. or so. I wasn't up. I only got to wake up at, they took me into the ICU.
Yeah.
And then you're only up at, I think I only got up at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. That's when now, you know, where like
whatever is running out. Off. Yeah.
Now, but then they actually say now he has to wake up himself. It's like,
right, yes,
you,
yes.
You know, they
yes,
can't
yes.
just come to you. I'm like, oh, hey, try to shake it, wake up. Like, we're done. Like, no. Like, so imagine you're out by 2 p.m. or so. They speak to the doctor. My mom was there and my thing. Like, yeah. And then, like, now wait for him to wake up. And then this is Joshua now probably waking up. Hours later, like, whew, that playlist, I think, even stopped playing. It had
run out.
It ran
out.
It's time. Like, it stopped. And then you wake up. You're sitting there. And I am in the ICU area. With everything plugged in from my nose,
yes,
to my thumb, with then to what else? So it was my nose, my thumb, I think my other hand to the one for the waist,
yes, yes.
So
yes.
Anything that is any waste product, yes, with pee and everything it was
goes,
connected,
yeah,
and not in the abdomen. So people shouldn't think it was in the abdomen area where it was connected. No. This one wasn't connected.
It's from the way.
Yeah, that for viewers out there, I'm just trying to make it sensitive and everything there. Yes, your larger audience, because you never know who's listening to.
Truly,
you there,
truly.
But, you know, it wasn't like no way people think
it wasn't pleasant, basically.
Yes, and it was way uncomfortable. You're not even thinking about it.
It hurts. Like, it does. It does.
If you knew how long the tube was.
It's long. It's a long tube.
As much as I'm laughing about it,
it's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
At all.
I'm like, huh.
No, you feel it when they even pull it.
What? Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. I know this podcast was like supposed to be like that, but like I say, I use humor a lot.
It gets us through.
It's there, seated there, and it's uncomfortable. And then now, that bed was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then now you have your stitches like there. You know when you wake up like...
See, I woke up from my appendix. Like, they don't tell you your transition from like sleep to pain. I feel like nobody ever tells you about the transition from sleep to pain.
Now listen, that's how my story gets like funnier and funnier. Okay, maybe serious and serious.
That was part one of my very nice conversation with Josh. Josh still has some of his story to tell. So, but we've been through some of the journey, some of his interesting journey, and I hope that you are learning so much from him. We'll be back for part two of Josh's story.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Kachihande. Please make sure you subscribe on Anchor, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Like and follow our Facebook page, Kachihande, to keep the conversation flowing. Share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, and everyone around you. It's time we have those conversations we're too scared to have.